If y'all would have had me going in like the first round, that would have been what's up. And then y'all could have went and told Ozzy, you know, to get me earlier. The stress of the combine mixed with the 3 days that y'all draft people is terrible. You know, teams will call you like, just making sure this is your number. Yeah, this is my number. You know, call it whenever. You know.
Welcome into the lounge. We are back with another player interview today.
Yep, right. We had 1 week off for Steelers week. As we said last week, Steelers week was the guest.
Didn't bring us good luck.
Did not bring us good luck. No podcast bump for Steelers week.
No podcast bump for the game. So we got to get a podcast bump for a player. Yep. I feel like this one could come true.
Yeah,
I feel like
most of them do.
Most of them do. This one especially. Last year was kind of a better run than this year.
Yeah. Well, we haven't talked about it quite as much. That's true. The thing, you got to talk about it more. Then he gets in guys' heads. Right. His podcast bump.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So hashtag podcast bump for Matthew Judon this week. Going to have a big game in Cleveland. And we brought him on here before he becomes a superstar.
Yeah, he's on his way. And before we get to the full interview with Matthew, I want to read this email. As always, you guys can email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. This one comes to us from Andrew Redlemeyer.
Red Lemur?
Dyslexia there. I just mixed up the L and the E.
Is this a new breed of animal? It's a red lemur?
Redlemeyer.
Oh, wow.
Andrew Redlemeyer. All right. Andrew says, absolutely love the show. Thank you for providing me some much-needed Ravens coverage up here in Toronto. There's probably not too much Ravens coverage.
All right.
North of the border. I want to give a huge shout-out for your recent guest, Anthony Levine, for giving me a great night as I made the 9-hour drive to watch Monday Night Football for my first Ravens game. Good luck.
That's impressive.
And he was a good luck charm. We walked around Camden Yards, got crab cakes at Fadley's in the afternoon. Thank you, Baltimore, for being so hospitable. My question is this. While I absolutely love Joe for everything that he's done, up to very much including the Super Bowl run, is it time for the Ravens to draft a quarterback relatively high next year with a mind of having him as Joe's future successor down the line, like Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, Jimmy Garoppolo in New England, a bunch of guys like
yeah.
that. So we want to get into the interview with Matt, so we won't spend too much time talking about this, but what do you think of his question?
I think it's a good question, and I do think it's one that the Ravens are going to talk about. You know, upper management will probably talk about this offseason when they meet in Florida after the year ends. I think that they will discuss, is it time to pull the trigger? You know, they've said, like, the past few years, well, you know, if there's a quarterback that's there, you know, best player available, and it kind of came with a wink-wink. Yeah. We knew they weren't drafting a quarterback high. This year, I think that there's a very real chance that they could draft one. I don't think it's going to be in the first round. It's not going to be a Mahomes situation.
No. Yeah.
But it's more of the Garoppolo situation, which I think he was a second round pick.
Right.
I think that a second, third, fourth round pick, that is kind of the sweet spot, I think, for the Ravens because, A, they don't have a set in stone backup quarterback
for the foreseeable future.
Ryan Mallett is going to be a free agent. Now he was last year as well, and they brought him back on a one-year contract. But, you know, I think they'd like to get back into a Tyrod Taylor situation where they drafted him, though he was a sixth-round pick, and they really struck on that one. They hit gold on that one.
I think the biggest thing more than, you know, I think that they could certainly go into the draft next year and draft a quarterback in the middle rounds. And I think that it's twofold. It's one, you get an immediate backup. You know,
that's
kind of checking that box first because that is going to be a position of need. And you have somebody that, I mean, everyone kind of takes for granted that Joe's going to be out there every single week, and he has been, with the exception of a few games when he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
But you see this year, you know, he dealt with a back injury, and that was an issue, a lot of concern. And so the guy's in his, you know, getting into his mid-30s, not quite there yet, but when you start to get into that territory, injuries become a larger discussion and all of that. So,
plus, can I throw one thing out there? And we don't want to go too much longer on this, but having a young, good backup quarterback is a very valuable thing to have in your organization, even if you want to trade him.
Yeah, look at the Patriots.
Like, if you draft a guy and you say, all right, maybe this guy takes over for Joe down the road, but then Joe plays lights out like we all hope he will and expects that he can, then you can say, all right, let's trade this target. I mean, just like Garoppolo, just like A.J. McCarron almost got traded this offseason. Like, good young quarterbacks are desired, and so if you can get a guy and he goes out and plays well in the preseason, he goes in and plays well in mop-up duty, or if he has to step in for an injured quarterback and he plays well, automatically, you might get your return on investment back or even better it. So I just think it's a valuable thing to have.
All right, enough about quarterbacks. Let's talk about guys that are
pass rushers.
Harass quarterbacks.
That's right. I like it. Yeah, good transition.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
That's how we do it in the pros.
I'm still in AAA.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get the call up on the transitions one day, but we'll see. Anyway, into our interview here with Matthew Judon. Matt, I don't want to stop you from eating that dip. So,
whoa!
I think
he said dip. D-I-P. D-I-P.
So I say keep going. If you guys hear some crunching in the background, Matt's got some buff chick dip and some tortilla chips. It's looking pretty nice over there. Why didn't you bring some up?
Well, here's the truth. I was waiting on Matt, and he was kind of doing a good job of hiding. He thought he could wait me out. Like, if he just, like, hides in the locker room long enough, then I'll forget that we've got the podcast coming up. I helped myself to a large serving.
Was he with Alex Collins?
Yes, he was going for Alex's move. Wait us out. But I waited him out. I found him.
I should have gotten a sauna. Yeah.
So thank you, Matt, for doing this. And I got to start out with, I don't think that anybody on this team dances as much as you do on game days. Like, I mean, before the game, during the game, after the game, after sacks, nobody dances as much as you do. So I got to ask you, are you the best dancer on the team? Is that why you're dancing so much or what?
Yeah, of course I'm the best dancer on the team. It'd be people down there hating, but all the touchdowns and celebrations, I like to think I came up with them.
You came up with all the touchdowns? You're feeding the offensive guys.
Yeah, I'm helping everybody.
We had Levine on here, a couple weeks ago, and he told the story of he basically just fell apart. He just collapsed during his interception celebration.
He botched his.
Oh my! We come up with stuff. Levine make plays, and he lose his mind. He don't know where he at. He don't know what's going on. He forget handshakes. He forget dances. He forget things we practice. I mean, I'm glad he doesn't go like that on plays. Like right. Between plays, between whistles, he know what he's doing. But let him make a play or a big hit, or he just loses his mind.
I feel like because I'm sure when you get a sack, right, originally your head's like, yes, like I just made this play. And then you have to refocus and be like, what am I supposed to do in the celebration? I'm supposed to go nap time. It's sleepy time. Like, how do you kind of gather your composure for the celebration?
See, I plan to make play. So I already know those plays are going to happen.
It's just part of the play.
The celebration. It's also playing, so you gotta envision that stuff. So I envision making plays. So I envision the dances I'm gonna do after I make those plays.
What's your favorite? Because my personal favorite was the where you went to bed, you hopped up, because then you like put the clothes on. That was like the underrated part of that dance or that celebration. You then got dressed in the morning, which I think people kind of forget about that.
Yeah. No, I got some more in works, and I just gotta keep making plays so I can. Me and my teammates can continue to celebrate. So I think, on down the line, when we make some more plays, y'all see some better dance.
You know what his other favorite move to do is on game day?
What's that?
Which is, this is as soon as the game's over, if I'm doing an interview with somebody on the field post-game, it's 100% of the time Judon's going to come in there and blow it up at some point. How many do you think you've come in there on at this point?
Three.
I think three.
I was going to say, how many wins do we have? Seven?
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I can't find you. I don't know where y'all at. Y'all go hide in a corner.
Right, just like you try to do to us. Sometimes you gotta hide.
Yeah.
So I asked you this a couple weeks ago, and I want to ask you again here on the podcast. What is it about playing football do you think that you have so much fun with? What makes football so fun for you? Because it's just kind of contagious the way you play.
I feel like it's not like football. It's video games or even basketball. It's not like football. I feel football is a lot of individual matchups that sum together a team, and basketball or any other type of sport, you can win an individual matchup and you can carry a team. But even in football, you can win an individual matchup and it still be a negative play. Right. So football, you gotta rely on the guy next to you, but it brings you closer.
So we want to kind of talk about your story and tell kind of the background of it and how you got to this point. And now, in your second year, you're making a lot of plays as you're talking about. So How did you end up at Grand Valley State? It's, you know, all respect to Grand Valley State, but it's not known as this national powerhouse. I'm curious how you ended up at this school.
Well, let me stop you right there. It is known as a national powerhouse.
D2 national powerhouse.
I don't know. I don't care what level. You know, we can play anybody in the nation. They just don't schedule.
Uh-huh. This man right now is wearing a Grand Valley State shirt and sweatpants right now. He is full on repping right now.
Yeah, man. You know, I got more Grand Valley stuff in my closet than I have anything else. You know, I'm a Nike athlete, and I still got more Grand Valley stuff in my closet. So,
is there any part of you, though, that says, even at this point, like you look at Michigan and Michigan State because you grew up outside of Detroit in the suburbs of Detroit, and you're like, what the hell were you guys thinking? Like,
they're some losers. You know what? They lost out on me. You know, they missed out. I don't know. I think I was 17 because I had to pack some stuff back to my mom to get her to sign it when I was first in college, and I was 17, and you know I probably didn't have the best of grades coming out of high school, and you know I was a little more thin, and you know they didn't see it in me. You know that I can't dwell on it, but you know maybe I would wish I would have went D1. You know, got all the stuff. I could trade more jerseys because I know people. I feel like that's the worst thing, though. That's the worst thing. You know, I be seeing all these people, you know, dapping hands and stuff after the game because they know each other. Man, but I don't really know nobody because don't nobody from D2.
It's not that many. It's you and Brandon Carr.
It's not that many of us in the league, man.
You and Brandon Carr can just exchange jerseys after every game.
Are there any other Grand Valley State guys in the league right now?
Yeah, Carr.
Oh, he went to Grand Valley State.
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Brandon Carr went.
Only a couple
You're
left.
Holding it down, man.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool that you spent 6 years there, right? I mean, it's not like sometimes you see guys and they'll start at the D2 or whatever, and then they'll transfer into D1 and all that stuff. Like, I just think it's cool that you stayed your 6 years there, and it shows kind of the loyalty that you had to the program. And like you said, like you were kind of like a thinner guy coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. You filled out, and you made it work. You know what I mean? Like you were devoted to the program. Senior year, lead the nation in sacks with 21. I mean, I don't know. I just think that's cool. Like, how do you feel like, why did you stick it out there? How did that shape you as a player? What was it about that?
I had a lot of respect for my coaches and you know, the people around me, and they brought me there to do a job. You know, it was obviously to win games, win national championships, but, you know, they also brought me there to, you know, groom me as the man I am, you know, as the player I am and as the father I am. You know, they had that responsibility, and myself with my parents, you know, gave them that responsibility when they sent me off to college. So, you know, I felt like I owed them, you know, enough to at least, you know, wait it out, stay there, and, you know, finish my career as a Laker. You know, we're Grand Valley State Lakers. But,
you know, it's Kobe and Judon.
Yeah,
that's Lakers of all time.
No, wait. You know, it's probably Shaq, Judon, then Kobe.
Okay, all right.
You know, I'm still second.
Ahead of Kobe.
Yeah. I mean, Kobe was all right. I'm giving it to Shaq, though.
You know, one of my claims to fame is when you were coming out in the draft. So him, Ryan, and I put together mock drafts every single year. And we do every pick for the Ravens. Yeah. And when you start getting down into, really after the first round, it's kind of a crapshoot. You're just sort of guessing, right? But your year, I hit two picks. This was an all-time great day for me for the Ravens. I hit you, and I hit Willie Henry.
Oh.
Right? That's good. Pretty good. Pretty you got to give me credit for that.
I'll give it to him.
What round you had me going?
Fourth.
Fourth?
Yeah, I would have made him a way better pick.
See, right?
Right? I would have made him a way
he
better pick.
He had you before Willie Henry.
So that, is that what it was?
For real?
Yeah, you had him before Willie
and
Henry.
And I had Willie in the fifth.
But you know what I also remember about that is I remember seeing, like, we'll just pull up YouTube highlights, right? And we'll be like, oh, yeah, this guy looks sick, right? And so I pull up your highlights, and I'm like, dude, this guy's a monster. He's sacking everybody. Like, 21. You were, like, the quintessential Ravens pick. Like, we love small school guys. We love small school guys with production. Guys with high sacks. sack numbers were, I was like, yes, we're taking this guy. So I tell Garrett, we share an office. I was like, I'm taking this kid, Matt Judon. He's like, no, 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 I already have him. I called him first. I was pissed.
Yep, I
was
like, I already laid my claim.
I can't now, you know, I can't take him too.
See, if y'all would have had me going in like the first round, that would have been what's up. And then y'all could have went and told Ozzy, you know, to get me earlier.
Right.
You know, they
you would have had a nicer payday then.
Man, I don't think as much as the payday as the stress. I feel like, you know, I'm gonna get in this league and I'm gonna do what I do. I play football, and I'm gonna do that well. But the stress of those 2 days is. The stress of the combine mixed with the 3 days that y'all draft people, mm-hmm. is terrible. That's the worst stress you can put on a, you know, 25 and under person ever.
Like, yeah.
You know, I mean, well, not ever. Like, this is a great job. But it's terrible. You know, you just sitting by the phone. You know, you don't, like, the first round, what, is 3 hours? Right, 3 or 4 hours?
Yeah.
Nobody can call your phone for those 3 or 4 hours. I knew I wasn't going first round.
Right.
You know, D2 guy. Case. But I didn't want anybody calling my phone for those 3 or 4 hours.
It's a pump fake.
Yeah. And then...
just turn it off.
Then some... You can't turn it off. Because
if
an organization call, you're not, you know, and you don't pick up, they'll call you again. But then they got to select somebody else.
Right.
Because
right.
they actually have to talk to you before they select you.
Make sure you're alive. That's the old... Yeah. Make sure the corpse is still kicking.
Yeah. Right, right.
But then, you know, just sitting there waiting, and then you'd be like, all right, what? I think it's the second and third round the next day,
yep.
and that's also later in the day.
Yep.
So you got to wait all through that day, and then sometimes coaches will call you, like, you know, teams will call you, like, just making sure this is your number. And like,
I
yeah,
don't think you
like,
should be allowed to do that.
Yeah, this is my number, you know, call it whenever, you know. You just answering random numbers. You don't know who on the other line. And then you don't get another call until, you know, the draft is over, you know, the second and third day. You know, this is me. I don't get another call until after that call. But I got two of those. I got two of those calls.
At the end of the second, third day?
No, at the end of the first day.
Okay.
At the end of the first day, I think it was like noon the next day. You know, I'm just coming back home, and I get some calls, like, just making sure this is your number. And, you know, like, probably like 30 minutes after, a different team, different area calls. I answer it, like, hey, is this Matthew Juno? I'm like, yeah, you know, woo. And I'm feeling good, like, yeah.
Right, that and makes then, you think you're going in the second or third round.
Second and third round, right. That's what I'm saying. And then you just see DNs. Well, you know, I was coming out as a DM. See DNs coming off the board, just flying off the board. And it's like an automatic, like, compare yourself to that guy. Like, right. Man, I'm better than him, or, you know, I can do what he does, what, you know. And it's just, the stress, it's tough.
Did you think you could potentially go as high as second round then? I mean, if you're getting those calls, you're probably thinking there's a chance.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, honestly, in my head, I was like, fourth round's probably the highest. But then when you get those calls, right. you know, you get those, yeah, maybe, thoughts, you right. know. And so you have to watch. Right. You have to watch, and then you have to sit by your phone. And it's just like, you know, somebody get the ball with a whole 24-second shot clock, and they just pump faking the whole time. pump faking and jab moving, like... Is he ever gonna shoot the ball? Like, but when you get that call, like, you know, that's why, like, I understand, you know, people like drop to their knees and start crying, start hugging everybody, because just the moments leading up to that is just so stressful.
So what'd you do? Who are you with, and what'd you do?
I was with my whole family. We was at my high school coach Wins. We was at his house watching it. You know, we was jumping around, you know. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I shed a tear or not, but, you know, I was extremely happy.
Yeah.
And then after that, then everybody text your phone and call your phone. And you don't want to be a bad guy and not, like, respond to everybody, but you get so many, like, it's
impossible.
It's just copy and paste, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So, you know, so you come in here last year, you make a couple of plays, and then this year you step into the starting lineup. Elvis Dumervil is no longer here, and you are the starter. And you have 6 sacks, right, at this point of the season. You win Defensive Player of the Week. I mean, how exciting has this emergence been for you, and is it what you expected? Are you playing even better than you expected? What do you think of how this year's gone?
Nobody ever know it, but I'm like a cocky dude.
When we've asked you this question previously, you've been like, you media guys, you don't believe me, nobody believes me. You think you're a good reporter?
I don't think that y'all don't believe in me. Y'all just love asking that question. Y'all don't, I think it's because I'm a small school guy.
Yes, that's what it
is. I'm a fifth round pick. Y'all ask nobody else that.
I knew as soon as you asked that question just now, I was like, he's going to have the same reaction.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm
nobody's asking CJ Mosley that question.
Right. You know, and so this is how I'm supposed to play. I'm supposed to play at I feel like all pro level. And, you know, I always want to be a guy you got to circle on the film. Like, this guy, we got a block.
Where do you think that you got that attitude from? Where did that confidence come from?
It's always been like that. You know, when I was little, not so little, but when I was younger, probably in like elementary, middle school, my oldest brother, Michael Judon Jr., mm-hmm. he used to beat the dog snot out of us in Madden. He used to use the Oakland Raiders. I don't remember that quarterback, nothing. He used to beat the dog snot of it. I used to get so mad. I used to like cry and be like, man, I just can't wait to beat him. And I think it was just, you know, that competition, but in the household, it was always a competition with me and my two older brothers and just trying to be great or better than them at anything. Then it trickled over to other people, you know. It trickled over to the competition I was in, you know, playing basketball, playing football, you know, other sports. I just always wanted to be the best. And, like, I feel like I always wanted people to, like, need me, you know, because when you're getting picked for sports, you know, dang, I need you down on my team. Like, yeah. So I felt like that, you know, would inspire me to be great and why, you know, strive to be great every day.
So you talk about your childhood. I mean, you grew up, you were 1 of 10, right? Mm-hmm. 1 of 10 children.
Number 6.
Yeah. Right? And so how did growing up in that big of a family shape you? And maybe this is what you're talking about. Maybe it's that competitive spirit, but how did that kind of make you who you are today?
It made me what I am today huge because, you know, being 1 of 10, you're never alone. Even, you know, but you also okay with being alone. I feel like if you was I don't know how it is, but I felt like when you are a single, you know, child, when you're the only child, it's like you don't want to be alone because you never had no siblings. You always had alone time. But me, I'm like okay with being alone because, you know, my house was always loud. Something was always going on with so many kids, so I really never had no like area just to myself. Mm-hmm. But you know, now I got that area to myself and I'm okay with it because I can communicate with my family, you know, and my friends and my siblings because you know they was there for me and we were so close, so it's not like I'm alone even when I'm alone.
What was it like the first time you have your own bedroom? I don't know if that was in college or when you get to the pro, you know what I mean? Like, what was that like?
That's assuming that you didn't have your own bedroom with, you know, 9 brothers and sisters.
I never
live in a mansion.
Bedroom. Right.
I never had my own bedroom. It was my first year of college, the second semester.
Okay.
My roommate, Isaiah Dunning, had moved out.
Well, that's the best situation. You got a guy that moves out, then all of a sudden you got the room by yourself.
Yeah, he like had moved out like to the next house right over, and like you know, we're still good friends to this day. But like I could do, you know, it was just my own room. I like having music going like at all times in my house. So in my room, I had like my little stereo. Once I come in, I play some music. I had like I had took his bed because we had kind of had lofted beds, but we unlofted them. So I took his just bed and put it on my bed. So my bed was like higher. double mattresses. And it was like more comfortable. I sleep with the window open. So the window was open like through summer, through rain, through snow. Like, so it was always cold in my room. And it was my own. Like, it was the best thing in the world. Like, y'all don't understand.
I thought it was kind of funny when you were talking about, and this kind of goes back to the cockiness thing, but you said that last year when you came in as a rookie, you felt like you kind of rubbed some vets like the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What was that like? Did anybody voice that to you? Like, did any vet come to you and be like, dude, you got to kind of chill out a little bit? What happened?
Nobody ever came to me and was like, you gotta chill out, or, you know, they'll just be like, well, we do stuff like this, or, right. You know.
It's kind of suggested.
Yeah, you know, kind of, not like backhanded, but, you know, like on a slide, like, you know, we kind of do stuff like this, or, you know, just like, kind of like mentoring me.
Right.
You know, like, all right, then you gotta do it like this, you gotta do it like this, you gotta do it like this. And I remember, like, because I never tie my shoes in practice, my cleats in practice. I usually never tie my cleats in practice. I always tape my ankles and put on long socks and just never tie my, you know. So the first day we out here in OTAs, you know, we going through practice, and it's the start of practice. So it's like run. And I'm out there, you know, I do my couple plays. Then after Coach Harbaugh was like, hey, Judon, come here. So, you know, I'm walking, I'm kind of running off, like around to the offensive, like how we stand behind. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of running off.
Right.
And Kyle Juszczyk grabs me. He's like, tie your shoes before you go over there. So I was like, all right. I tie my shoes. And then I get over there, and once I get over there, first thing he looked down, he was like, I see somebody told you to tie your shoe. and I'm like, yeah, why? He was like, and then he said something about like being ready. I was like, you know, me, I'm a rookie, so I'm like, yeah, yes, coach. But I'm like, I didn't think that had anything to do with me being ready to practice. Cause I'm ready to practice. Right. I just don't ever tie my shoes at practice. So, you know, I had to change that. So I go, every time I go out there, I only do our little stretch with my shoes untied.
You know? Then I tie my shoes. Time for part of the practice.
Then I tie my shoes up, and then I'm ready to practice, I guess.
Did you feel like when you would, obviously if it's coming from the head coach, you're going to tie your shoes. That's kind of like a non-negotiable. But when you get these little tips from other players, these veteran players, when you said it, you felt like it was kind of mentoring you. Did you feel like you were receptive to that? Did it at all rub you the wrong way? Or how did you?
Because now, because you said like now, like you can be yourself, like they get you better. So it seems like it was a two-way street kind
right.
of,
like
you
know? It can go either way, because I can see guys that are like, that's not me, that's not who I am. I'm not going to listen to you, like I'm going to do it my way. Or you can be like, all right, thanks for telling me. Like how did you kind of
I just, you know, always take everything with a grain of salt. And I don't get upset at them, you know, because we two different walks of life, and you know, they are them and I am me. So, you know, I took it with a little grain of salt, but, you know, I also dialed back on the things, you know, that was kind of, you know, rubbing people the wrong way. And then when they kind of like understood me more, then I would kind of, you know, let them in on a little bit.
Kind of loosen the belt a little bit.
Yeah, you know, so. But, you know, I ain't really, like, never, like, stop being myself. You know, I don't know how to talk quiet because, you know, I grew up with 10 brothers and sisters. So, like, you know, I was always trying to get my opinion in or something like that. And, you know, even if, you know, we not arguing, you know, we just debating about something, like I'm gonna talk loud because I want my opinion to be heard.
The loudest man wins.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. But you know, they was real good last year. My teammates was real good, and they kind of like understood me, and you know, it, you know, it, the more plays I kind of made, then it was like, all right, man, well, maybe we got something. Right. Maybe we got to let him be himself.
Right. So when did you were one of my favorite guys that we had mic this year for a game. We put a mic on you for the Tennessee game, and it was awesome because we've got to appreciate A, your trash talk on the field, which was spectacular, and B, just like how goofy you are on the field. Like, you were tickling a guy at the bottom of a pile.
I don't think that was me. That was somebody else.
No, that was you.
Nah, that was somebody else. I don't know who that was. Yeah. But I was right there, and I was on the bottom of the pile. But I wasn't tickling nobody. But I did hear that, though. I did hear that, so I don't... You know, I'm just gonna stick to my guns and say that wasn't me. But on the video, y'all did quote me saying that, so y'all gotta take those quotes off.
So what is the weirdest or most unusual thing that you've ever said or done to get in the head of an opponent? Because you said you like to just get them kind of like just off their game a little bit with your trash talk. So what's something weird that you can tell us about?
I don't know. Me, it's just a trash talk. Y'all never remember. Y'all never remember. You never remember your good material. Some weird stuff. I had a teammate. He used to like Facebook search like the quarterbacks that we about to play, or the he was a nose guard, or like the offensive lineman. Like, he used to know like if they had just had a niece or nephew. Like, he used to do some like in depth. Research. He used to know everybody's name, and I used to be like, "Man, you, wow, like, that's just taking it. That's like too far. Like, that's, I mean, you know your player, you know your opponent inside out, but you, like, you don't know the whole family inside out. You know, like, family history inside out. So,
all right. So before we let you go, what's the best thing that you've learned from Terrell Suggs these two seasons?
Best thing, it's so much, but I think the best thing is like just be yourself. I think since day one, and I think he'll tell you this, he made some mistakes and you know on through his way, and you know everybody takes their own path, but he always stuck to his guns. He always knew who he was, and he always, you know, came in this building with an approach to get better. You know, he never, you know, denounced any one of his teammates, or, you know, said that he was better than them, or, you know, I mean, a little bit, but, you know, he never, like, you know, trash talked none of his teammates or nothing like that. He just kept like a real business approach to the game. And, you know, you see it in his play, you see it in his stats, and, you know, everything he's done and his body of work, you see it in. So, you know, he became, you know, stay true to yourself, but also come to work every day with a mindset of getting better.
Cool. Matthew Judon, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Made a good dent in the Buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah, so it's well over done. Now.
It's over.
Yeah.
The show's over.
I guess
over,
you think I right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right, so thank you, Matt. Good stuff. Just a funny dude, man. I like Matthew Judon a lot, and a heck of a football player.
Yeah.
I think this dude, he could be pretty soon a centerpiece in this defense. I think he, CJ, you know, Suggs isn't going to be around for five more years, you know. I think he, CJ, and some of these other younger guys, you know, Brandon Williams, Pierce, some of those young guys in the front seven, and he's one of the major ones, are going to be the backbone of this defense.
Yeah, I like his attitude.
Marlon Humphrey.
Right, obviously Marlon. I like his attitude also that, like, everyone thinks it's kind of a surprise that he's playing this well. You know,
including yourself,
and you know, not as we me. Saw by the question I asked him, but he's like, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I just like that attitude. He doesn't feel like he's doesn't belong. You know, sometimes a guy could come in as a late round pick as a small school guy and feel like, I don't know if I'm going to hang. And he doesn't have that attitude at all.
Well, when we did our preseason predictions on the pod, and we predicted breakout player of the year, I know I took Matthew Judon.
You also took him to have the most sacks, which was going to be wrong, as I took Terrell Suggs. So here's
hey. We don't know that that's going to be wrong yet. We got three more games. He's only 4.5 behind.
Yeah, he could break out. He could break out. But
they come in bunches.
They do come in bunches. And I think
and he's got the podcast bump now. Suggs doesn't have the podcast bump.
Well, he has the original podcast bump from last year. Maybe get Suggs back here. If I start to get nervous about my prediction, I'm going to have to bring Suggs back on the podcast. Give him the bump.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. We will make sure we have another great guest for you. Probably next week. We'll do our best. And as always, you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Leave a rating, review. Good luck with your holiday shopping, and we'll be back with you next week.